Superstar Gunnar Henderson has an intercostal strain. Are the Orioles in trouble? Yes, welcome on in to First Pitch for Thursday, March 6th, your source of news, notes, and updates on Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Lindsey Crosby. You can follow me on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. He's Troy Brock, Troy B Baseball on Twitter as well. We're going to get to more of our division previews here for the National League Central. A little bit of drama as to whether it's the Cubs or the Brewers. We're going to get to some of the other injury news and a couple signings that were interesting. We got to start off in Baltimore, though. Gunnar Henderson has been diagnosed with an intercostal strain. The club is, quote, very, very hopeful that he's on the opening day roster 3 weeks ago, 3 weeks away. When he came out of that Grapefruit League game last week against the Blue Jays with lower right side discomfort, they said, precautionary, we're not even going to give him an MRI. We were like, okay, we mentioned it. We didn't really get into it. Now let's get into it because they're already down Jordan Westberg right now. Jordan Westberg is dealing with, I think, a back issue. Back spasms, soreness, whatever. They've said it's possible he plays today, but they also said that Gunnar was precautionary only. Before we get into the possible options to replace Gunnar temporarily, if Gunnar Henderson misses time in the regular season, how screwed are the Baltimore Orioles?
Yeah, that's going to be pretty bad for the Baltimore Orioles because they really, as we've touched on ad nauseum this offseason, they've done nothing of note to their offense, and it's still Gunnar Henderson at the top of the pile, and then it's kind
of Adley Rutschman and the boys.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, without Gunnar, it's Adley Rutschman and the boys, and so it's not good at all. And an intercostal strain, that's no bueno, man. It's never a good sign when a player has those. We've seen multiple players have those and just struggle with them.
It's okay. At least you don't have to like rotate and stuff in baseball. Like it's not a motion you use a lot, so it's fine.
Right, especially hitters. They don't ever rotate.
Yeah, no.
but yeah, man, it's a big blow for the Orioles, especially if he does miss an extended period of time. And I mean, they could be hopeful in one hand and piss in the other and see which one fills up first. But it's not gonna be a good year in Baltimore.
Yeah, and this is not the only injury concern here like that they have. Jordan Westberg has played a lot of shortstop in the minors. He only has like 10 innings in the big leagues there. He's been mostly playing third base, but again, the back soreness and spasms, he might not be able to cover short. If he does cover short, it then creates a hole at third base. Jackson Holliday has played, has shortstop experience. He's mostly a second baseman, but he could move over to second. Creates a hole at second. Jorge Mateo has been the primary kind of non-gunner shortstop on this team. He's recovering from Tommy John, and he's gonna start the season on the IL. So a lot of moving pieces here. I mean, it's something where you move Holliday over to short, Ramon Urias enters at second, or if Westberg can play, you move Westberg over and put Urias at third, or Kobe Mayo, top prospect Kobe Mayo, can come up. But I kind of feel like even maybe more so than Adley Rutschman, Gunnar Henderson's the dude you can't afford to lose out of this lineup. He was 8 WAR last year. And I mean, he's one of the best all-around young players in baseball. He's not even 24 yet. And obviously, we're assuming he won't be out for very long. But to the point that we kind of jokingly made, this is a rotational injury. Hitters use that a ton. Shortstops, you're throwing off of weird platforms, you know, a lot of quick twitch ranging side to side and stuff. This is something you cannot rush him back from. You have to go slow with this. If Gunnar Henderson misses, I'm going to say if he misses a month of the regular season, which could be way too much, we don't know. If he misses a month of the regular season, do you think the Orioles can hold serve so that they still have a chance to win the division? Or is that going to put them in too big of a hole if they're having to play, say, an infield of Westberg, Holiday, Urias instead of Westberg, Gunnar, Henderson, Holiday.
Yeah, no, I think that's going to put him in too big of a hole because, like you said, Gunnar Henderson had 8 WAR last year, and that includes a second half slump for the ages. And so it's
Him and Adley Rutschman had a second half slump. Kind of makes you wonder. I don't know what's up there.
Right, and but yeah, it would take a massive step forward from Jackson Holiday, which he could do, but it's so far what he's shown at the majors has not really been great. There's been flashes, but there hasn't been consistent. He's great.
Super young, yeah. It's just
sure
he was probably arguably rushed up early.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly, yeah, and they may face that same situation if they do bring Connor Norby up. They may have the same situation they had with Jackson Holiday. So it's not good any way you look at it. And we kind of have been piling on the Orioles, but they're not in a good situation right now, but they brought it upon themselves.
Full disclosure, Connor Norby's now with Miami. He was part of that. He was part of that Trevor Rogers deal. Coby Mayo would be the one that would come up to play third.
I'm sorry.
And move Westbrook right. over. Yeah, it's fine. I do think like the thing that sucks for them too is they actually did spend a little bit of money. They went for quantity over quality, right? Yep. But Andrew Kittredge, they brought him in on a 1-year $10 million deal for the bullpen. He's got left knee soreness. He's getting an MRI. They're going to go multiple opinions. You don't do multiple opinions if you think it's just like some soreness, right? So like that could be $10 million down the drain for an organization that's proven hesitant to actually spend money. You need Gunnar Henderson to be healthy. Let's just kind of go with that. You need Gunnar to be healthy. A guy that looks like he may actually have avoided severe injury and could be healthy for opening day is Adolis Garcia. He was scratched on March 4th on Tuesday after we recorded the show with discomfort in his left oblique. Yesterday, manager Bruce Bochy told the media that it was, quote, a mild strain and one that was, quote, not quite severe enough to even be classified as a grade 1 strain. So they're already down Wyatt Langford, oblique strain 11 days ago, hasn't played in spring yet, maybe back for opening day, we don't know, but Garcia, they think that he will make it back for opening day. If they were to be missing both Garcia and Langford, I would have a lot of questions about the viability of that outfield, even though you do have Evan Carter, who's had back issues for a while now, and there's worries it could be chronic. Leody Taveras, there you go. But if Garcia's back, provided he can find his bat again, do you feel okay about this, or is this something where they got to get Jock Peterson back into the field just in case, and they're going to have to use some of their depth pieces like veteran Kevin Pillar or some of their utility men?
Yeah, if they can get Adolis Garcia back, they'll be okay, especially if he can find his bat again. I did look it up while you were talking. He's since 2021, he's played 148 or more games in each season since 2021. So he doesn't really have that track record of injury that, you know, I kind of harp on with a bunch of different players, but he did have that down here last year. But if they can get him back, I think they'll be okay. I mean, they do have a lot of depth in their lineup. You know, Corey Seager,
very good lineup, yeah.
And Jock Peterson at DH. And if Adolis Garcia misses a week or two, you can put Jock Peterson out there in the field. Just run him out there a couple times in spring, get his legs back under him. And he's not the best option in the outfield, but
throw him in left, not right. Yeah.
Yeah. And they have options over there in Texas. If Adolis misses a considerable amount of time, which he's not expected to, but if something changes and he does, then I think they're in a lot better position than the Baltimore Orioles with Gunnar Henderson.
Yeah. I wonder how much of this was just side effects of his birthday. He turned 32 on March 2nd. I wonder if he just went a little too hard on the celebration and then this is what happened. But yeah, no, Jock Peterson being in the outfield, I think is kind of the big thing there. He didn't play the outfield at all last year in Arizona. He was DH. And he's been doing more work at first base than he has in the outfield. But I do think, yeah, like you said, get him out there a little bit in spring just in case you need him. You've got a couple of utility guys. I think Josh Smith Zico Duran can both play almost anywhere. So you've got options. Kevin Pillar keeps somehow, he's an NRI. He keeps somehow just surprising everybody every year. We all think he's like, you know, he's super old and washed, and he just goes out there and does well every single year. I mean, for Atlanta in 23, you know, he hit 228 with 9 homers in like 81 games last year. Combined between the White Sox and the Angels, he hit 229. Like, he can give you something. He can still play center field, even though he's 36 years old. Like, you've got some options, but you need Garcia back a majority of the season. I don't know how to segue to this, but Justin Turner absolutely just destroyed the Seattle Mariners in immediate availability. I want to kind of read some quotes here because he was very blunt about the issues in Seattle. As we know, he signed with the Cubs, not with Seattle. Go back. And here's, like, I'm going to read some quotes here. Honestly, as much as I wanted to be back there, which he's implying that he did want to go back there, if I was the only piece they brought back in, I would be saying the same thing. What the hell are we doing? Are you trying? There's not going to be a better time to go for it. So I don't know what they're doing. I'm very confused. It's a head scratcher for me. And he's talking about, obviously, they have this incredibly young rotation that is the best rotation in baseball. That are, most of them are making almost nothing. And the offense is just terrible. But the article kind of, like, the attached article kind of explains it's not Jerry DePoto's fault. Everybody kind of piles on Jerry DePoto, the general manager. It's not him. It's ownership. Quote, I think Jerry catches a bad rap for a lot of these trades and how crazy some of these trades have been. But now being a part of it, I kind of understand. He doesn't have any money to spend, so he's got to create money. Like, okay, is it really Jerry's fault? He's doing everything he can to create a budget to be able to do things. He probably needed the trade guys just to be able to spend money in the offseason, which is nuts. What is the bigger problem for baseball? Blackouts or owners who just refuse to spend money?
It's close. It's a lot closer than people think, but it's definitely owners that refuse to spend money, because it's insane how many owners of baseball teams just absolutely refuse to spend money. And when you look at the Mariners, like you said, they have a very young rotation who are mostly making pennies on the dollar for what they're worth. And they're the best rotation in baseball, arguably. And they have no offense to pair with that rotation. We talked about it a couple weeks ago when we previewed the Mariners. It's insane that they have not done anything really of note to improve. They really did nothing to improve that offense this offseason. It's Julio Rodriguez and the boys, and Julio Rodriguez has declined year over year in each year that he's been in Major League Baseball. And so it doesn't make any sense why the Seattle Mariners did nothing this offseason, especially with the Astros taking the step back that they have this offseason. The American League West is up for grabs, and we've talked about it.
Jim Crane's an owner that will not go into the luxury tax. Like, he treats it like a cap. Same thing that the Angels do. And it's like, what are we doing, guys?
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense why I mean, you and I know that we both write about the Mets, but you're a Braves guy and I'm a Phillies guy, so we both kind of hate the Mets fanistically, but Steve Cohen has been in the luxury tax every year since he's taken over as the
owner. They made a new level of the luxury tax for him.
Right.
He has talked about, he sees his ownership of the team as a civic duty, right? Yeah. He's not trying to make money on the team. He's trying to win a championship.
And
how other owners should treat it.
Exactly. Baseball needs many more owners like Steve Cohen, like the Phillies owner, John Middleton, and team owners that are willing to spend money.
Guggenheim partners with the Dodgers.
Yeah, that are willing to spend money to put a good product on the field. If you spend money to put a good product on the field, they will come. If you build it, they will come. They were talking about building a good team, not a baseball field and a cornfield.
You know what's funny is you don't even have to necessarily build a good team and they'll still come. The Rockies have really good attendance for being a bad team. But like seeing things like what happens in New York and what happens in LA, right? This is again, Mets and Dodgers, not Yankees and Angels, but seeing things like that and people who instinctively say that is the problem. No, that is, I would argue in some respects, a good thing for baseball because we need more ownership groups and owners who are willing to spend money. The whole article is from USA Today. It's from Bob Nightingale, and it's really good. It's a fantastic article. I've been critical of Bob before, but it is very good. Here's my favorite quote to our point about them taking that rotation, doing nothing with it. Here's what Turner said about what he told the team about this offseason. Quote, I told them several times this offseason, you have a unicorn of a pitching staff. This might be the best five starting pitchers in the history of the game. I mean, find me a better five man. There's obviously been teams that have had three elite guys, right? He refers to Maddox, Glavine, and Smoltz in Atlanta. Maybe four guys. And the reference here, the parenthetical reference is the Orioles in 71, they had four 20-game winners. He's like, but five guys? And crap, I actually clicked off. Here we go. There's never going to be a better time in the history of that franchise to have added a couple of bats to make a run than this year. I thought Alonso was a slam dunk. How can you not go after him? Are you kidding me? And to hit Turner's point, the Mariners didn't, reportedly, according to Nightingale in this article, didn't extend an offer to Pete Alonso, to Juan Soto, to Alex Bregman, just didn't even try. 16th in the league, fourth lowest payroll in the AL West. Just blows my mind.
It's just dumb, man. It doesn't make any sense. Why? And you're in Seattle, like your park is beautiful. You have a beautiful park and you just refuse to put a good product on the field outside of a pitching staff, which you built in your farm system. It's not even like you went out and paid those guys. So it doesn't make a lick of sense, man. I don't get it.
They did inherit the Luis Castillo contract.
That's right. Yeah, you're right.
But that's it.
Yeah, other than the other four they built in their farm system. I always forget about Luis Castillo. He's just kind of there.
Yeah. Quick side note on a guy that signed. Jose Iglesias signed a deal with the San Diego Padres, $3 million base salary. If he makes the roster, it's a minor league deal, another $1 million in incentives. That's more than a typical, NRI minor league deal, especially at this point in the spring gets, but he hit .337 last year for the Mets and 291, plate appearances. So just under half a season. And like I think he was like second on the position player group in WAR, despite only playing like 85 games. And then also he was like really important in the clubhouse. Like I've written for Mets on SI, you've written for Mets on SI about Jose Iglesias. JD Martinez was the one that asked them to bring him in. Like he went on a rehab stint down to Syracuse, and he's like, this dude's awesome. We need to bring him up to the majors. They've talked about what he did, the OMG song, the clubhouse vibes, all of that. Is it possible that lightning can strike twice and Jose Iglesias can have that same type of result to the San Diego Padres that he had to the Mets last year? Or was that just right place, right time, it happened to work out?
Yeah, I think it was more right place, right time, it happened to work out. I think the San Diego Padres might have brought him in to try and get him to fix the clubhouse there, but it's a clubhouse full of a lot of big name stars, whereas while the Mets do have big name stars of their own, I don't think that any of them are as big of names as like a Francisco or Fernando Tatis or Manny Machado or Dylan Cease. You know, while the Mets have Francisco Lindor and then people know who Pete Alonso is, that Francisco Lindor might be on the same level as Fernando Tatis and Manny Machado, but Pete Alonso not quite. And at the same time,
despite what his contract demands are.
Exactly. But at the same time, Jose Iglesias is also a poor man's Luis Arias. Like he doesn't bring any power. He puts the ball in play a lot, and that's
he does have good defense.
He does have good defense. Yes, he is better on defense than Luis Arias, but which isn't saying much. But
I think you're better on defense than Luis Arias.
You haven't seen me play defense, but
yeah. I'm a hater, man. I don't think you want to ask me that. I am a hater, so I'm gonna just leave it at that.
But no, it could turn out to be a good signing. I mean, he's going to be a good depth piece over there in San Diego. But OMG, he's going to SDP, and we'll see how it goes.
How the sausage is made. You wanted the Mets on SI article to be called that, and they didn't do it. So I get it. Yeah, it's odd to me. I do think it's important to point out he's an XXB free agent. He finished last year on a major league roster and then is on a minor league deal now. So he has three opt-out dates in his contract, 5 days prior to opening day, May 1st and June 1st. So if he finds out late in camp that they're not going to add him to the roster, he can go to free agency versus agreeing to go to the minor leagues. So we'll see what happens there. All right, I want to wrap up our division previews real quick with who we think's probably going to finish in second place, even though they've somehow avoided doing this for years now, the Milwaukee Brewers. We talked about payroll teams. This is one of the teams that doesn't necessarily, like, they're willing to spend money in certain situations, right? They extended Jackson Chourio, which early in the year, which can be expected, he was making his debut, he looked a little rough, but I'm like, nope, still a good idea. Second half, absolutely was a good idea. He killed it in the second half. But they've typically operated on a mechanism of moving guys a year before free agency. They traded Corbin Burns over to the Orioles, got back who is now their starting shortstop in Joey Ortiz. They moved Devin Williams this last offseason. They watch Willie Adames walk in free agency. They'll get a draft pick, a compensatory draft pick for that. So looking at the lineup now, your outfield, Sal Frelick, Garrett Mitchell, Jackson Chourio, Christian Yelich as your DH. He can play some left field as well. William Contreras behind the plate. Infield of like Reese Hoskins, Bryce Turang, Joey Ortiz, and then some combination at third base, right? It could be Caleb Durbin, could be Oliver Dunn. We don't really know. Could be Ortiz at third base and Durbin at short. We don't really know. Thoughts on this on this position player group? Is this good enough to win the division?
I think it is a good position player group, but I don't necessarily think it's good enough to win the division. I know it did it last year, but the division, ergo the Cubs, were a much weaker team last year than they are this year. And you still need to see Jackson Chourio do what he did last year again over a full season. I mean, in to his credit,
I do love Jackson Chourio.
Yeah, I mean, he proved me wrong. He is the first guy to receive a major league extension before he debuted and it worked out. Like so you know, it's so far it has worked out for the Brewers and Jackson Chourio. They'll need a full year of Christian Yelich, which they haven't gotten in quite some time.
Says he's healthy after the back surgery. He says he's healthy.
We'll see. We will see. Yeah. Fangraphs is definitely optimistic, expecting him to get 574 plate appearances this year. But William Contreras is always good offensively, defensively, not so much. Reese Hoskins surprised me going to the Brewers and having the success that he did in 2024. It's a good group. A lot of it kind of skews more, especially at the back end, kind of skews more defensively and with speed than offense. But as a whole, it's a good group. It's just not really, I don't think it's as good as the Chicago Cubs group.
Yeah, I think a lot of this here is you're counting on more development from some of these young guys. And I'm not saying that can't happen. That absolutely can happen. This entire lineup, with the exception of like Yelich and Reese Hoskins, are all very young. Yeah. Frelick is not yet 25. Chourio's 21. Bryce Turang's 25. Joey Ortiz is 26. Like, it's a very young roster. I do worry about the power potential of this team. Contreras is a power hitter. Hoskins can be a power hitter. Yelich can be a power hitter. I think Churio could potentially in his career be a 40-40 guy if everything broke right. He was 21 homers, 22 stolen bases last year. I think he could be a 40-40 guy at his absolute peak. But so much, like, I don't necessarily know outside of those three or four who else is going to give you a ton of power. Joey Ortiz played in third base last year, hit 11 home runs because he's a shortstop that was miscast at third base in deference to Willy Adames. You lost Willy Adames, who was your big power guy, one of your big power guys. And the options to replace him, to your point, are more defensive and speed guys. You know, Sal Frelick hit two homers last year, 18 stolen bases. Bryce Turang stole 50 bags. He had seven homers last year. And so you're in a situation of everybody, almost everybody, it feels like, gives you a useful dimension, but not very many guys are doing both things, yep. Right? Like, Churio's giving you speed and stolen bases. He's giving you defense. He's an all-around player. I'd say four tools because the arm's not great. But so many of these guys are giving you power or speed and defense, but not both. And so I worry about the ultimate ceiling of the lineup, especially if you lose a guy to injury. And to your point, Yelich has been hurt multiple seasons. Contreras played a lot. Contreras had 679 plate appearances. He was DH, I think, almost every time he wasn't behind the plate. And at a certain point, you worry about, like, these guys wearing down in the second half and things like that. So I like the lineup. I do think that I worry about the ceiling simply because of how some of these guys, and maybe more than a lot of other competitive lineups, how many of these guys are more one-dimensional than well-rounded. Like, if I had to pick, do I want a home run hitter or a speed guy? In modern baseball, it's been statistically proven it's more reliable to count on one home run than to count on getting a guy on base, stealing a bag or two, and then bringing him in, like playing station to station, right? So I don't not like the Brewers lineup. I just worry about the overall ceiling on these guys. The pitching staff is super intriguing to me because, like, I mean, you lost Aaron Ashby as a strained oblique, but, like, Brandon Woodruff's still not back from that shoulder surgery he had in 2023. Bob Gass had Tommy John. He's out most of the year. DL Hall, strained lat. He's on this. I think he's – is he on the 60-day now?
He had it yesterday.
So DL Hall's out for a while as well. And the lineup, it's solid. You got three guys, well, arguably three or four guys, who either did or were close to being qualified for the ERA title. I think we touched on this briefly the other day. So, like, I feel like you have a lot of number threes here. But I don't know if you have a number one starter, especially because the guys you were counting on to do that, like your Bob Gass, like your DL Hall, maybe your Brandon Woodruff, are all injured.
Yeah, the injuries have definitely taken their toll on this rotation. I mean, like you said, it's a decent rotation. We've definitely talked about worse over the weeks, but there's no clear cut ace in this rotation as it currently is constructed. I mean, it's maybe I still think Aaron Civale, even though Fangraphs has him as the fourth pitcher in their rotation, I still think he is the best option that they have in the rotation, especially if he can stay healthy. But other than that, they really have no guys. Like, Nestor Cortez as a three, I think that's kind of miscast by, like, two or three positions in a rotation. Like, and so it's they're going to have a lot of trouble holding opposing teams down, especially contending opposing teams to low run totals, and it's not going to be in their favor in the long run.
Yeah, I mean, this is something, like, we like this team. I'm just trying to be realistic here. Like, I'm trying to be realistic on, over the course of 162, do they have enough pieces and enough upside to make it to the postseason? And then in the postseason, do they have enough upside to take down another team? And, like, that's what I'm worried about. Like, do I think that this team would have a winning record over the course of 162? Yeah, it's a good baseball team. Do I think in the postseason, if they have a 7-game series against the Braves or, you know, the Dodgers or something, that they have the pieces, the top end pieces to get past those teams? They would, some of those, but I do think they would be, they would not be favored and probably against any other projected postseason team. And I think that's kind of the issue. It's all going to be contingent on health and development of these guys. And it's just, that's a lot to count on. So I like bullpen. You traded away Devin Williams, Trevor Megill, Joel Piamps is filthy, right? Like you've got a lot of pieces in here. You brought in Tyler Alexander as a free agent in like February, but like you've got a lot of interesting pieces. Jared Koenig, Brian Hudson, like you can see where this can be a quality bullpen, but it's, you lost the best piece you had in Devin Williams. And at the same time, you've always made it work. They're probably going to make it work. I'm sure some dude from the minor leagues is going to come up and pitch to a 180 ERA. Like some guy we've never heard of that was like a 17th round pick in 2021 is going to come up and just be filthy. But like, it's hard up front, not knowing this team as well as their fans do, to be like, yeah, I have confidence that that's definitely going to happen. And I think that's where I am with this team, is it's a quality team. It just feels like they're a couple pieces away from being able to hang with the best in the National League or the American League.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm right there with you. I also like this team. They're a good team. They're fun to watch.
And they are fun to watch. They run a lot. The defense is good. They're fun to watch.
Yeah. And so it's going to be fun to watch them this year. It's just, I just, like you said, they don't have those top tier pieces, enough of those top tier pieces to kind of take that next step and be, make their way into the playoffs. And then if they do get into the playoffs, to advance through the playoffs, like we saw last year, they had more top tier pieces last year and they took the Mets to three games, but they didn't get past that. And so,
yeah.
It's which I can't say much. The Phillies didn't get past that either, but it is what it is. And but yeah, the bullpen, like you said, the Brewers always, they're one of those pitching factory teams, man. They always have pitchers, especially in the bullpen, specifically in the bullpen. And so there'll be somebody at some point this year that comes up and just makes everybody says wow and has some new pitch like the Airbender or something.
We're running a little long here, but like, can you imagine this team with like $40 million more in payroll capacity? Like you take this team and you bring in Alex Bregman for third base instead of having to like figure out some combination of Oliver Dunn, Caleb Durbin, and you can move Ortiz to short. Like, can you imagine this team being able to do that? Or can you imagine instead of them having to go and get Rhys Hoskins for first base, them being able to bring in, you know, a Pete Alonso or somebody, or just like, this is one of those organizations, and I genuinely feel like, unlike a lot of other teams, they're kind of doing not everything that they could, because nobody really does everything that they could. But I don't know this is true, but I feel like the Brewers legitimately are trying to do as much as they can to add. They just don't have the capacity. But like, this team with the extra $40 million in payroll could be awesome. And could be one of the best teams in the National League, you know, a tier behind the Dodgers and probably Braves, but like they could be up there with that top end talent versus a bunch of dudes who are all above average. You know, one or two of them are in the top five at their position. Like, I do think it's possible Churio hits that level this year, but like a lot of these guys are, yeah, they're above average for their position, but they're also a little bit out of type. Sal Frelick's not a left fielder. He's a center fielder playing left. He doesn't have the power a corner outfielder normally has. And it's just like, this is one of those teams that you're always going to kind of have a little, you know, what if with them? What if they had a little more money to spend?
Yeah, it's kind of like we talked about with the Cubs a while back. You know, the Cubs at one point, before all the moves they made this offseason, they were just a mid team with a bunch of above average guys, but nobody really excelled at one thing. And now the Brewers are kind of in that position. And so it's kind of how the turntables situation up there in Milwaukee and Chicago.
Like, think about it. Put Alex Bregman on this team and then let them go and, for a starting pitcher, either maybe they kept Corbin Burns Maybe they even got a guy like a Yusei Kikuchi or a Jack Flaherty or something. Like, having that guy that, you know, I'm not going to say they signed a two-time Cy Young winner in Blake Snell, but like, imagine them being able to add to what some other teams have been able to do. Like, what if this team had added Tanner Scott as a closer? Like, that would have been the best bullpen in the division. It's still probably one of the best, but like, it would have been the best. And it's, maybe they'll still be there. It's just one of those, this is a team where I feel like, imagine putting Christian Walker at first instead of
Rhys Hoskins.
Rhys Hoskins. Nothing against Rhys Hoskins, but like, Christian Walker is one of the best defensive first basemen in all baseball. Like, imagine putting him in with that defense. It'd be the best defensive infield in baseball, but you'd also get power out of that. Like, it's just a, like, what if, and that's all I've got here. Really. That's, we have them second. I think the Fangraphs projections are 93 and 69. This feels like a 90 win team to me. Like if everything breaks right, it's a 90 win team, but I have them probably a little bit below that.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I think they're going to sit around 88, but if everything breaks right, they're a 90-win team. And with the way that the rest of the National League is, if you're not winning the National League Central, you're not getting in the playoffs, unfortunately. And so it's going to be a tough season. It's going to be a fun season for the Brewers. It's just going to end a lot sooner than a lot of people would hope.
Yeah. This has been First Pitch for Thursday, March 6th. You're listening on audio. Do us a favor. Leave us a 5-star review. If you're on YouTube, subscribe to the channel. Hit the notification bell so you know when we drop that next episode. Until next time. This has been First Pitch.